Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. In a few moments, we bring you an English translation of the Pope's announcement to resign. A report on Benedict XVI's weekly general audience, the penultimate of his pontificate, and how some church leaders have been reacting to the news of the Pope resigning. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. Speaking in Latin on Monday, 11th of February, Benedict XVI announced he would resign on February the 28th at 8 p.m. He spoke during a consistory in the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, becoming the first pope to do so in 600 years. The cardinals present were shell-shocked, and the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Angelo Sodano, speaking in Italian, described the decision as a fulmine a ciel sereno, a thunderbolt from the blue. Curiously, that evening at about 6 p.m, a thunderstorm really did break out over Rome, and a lightning bolt seemed to hit St. Peter's Dome. But besides this striking coincidence, what exactly were the reasons for Benedict XVI renouncing his office? I asked John Patrick Lovett to read an English translation of the Holy Father's words in Latin. Let's listen.
Dear brothers, I have convoked you to this consistory not only for the three canonizations, but also to communicate to you a decision of great importance for the life of the Church. After having repeatedly examined my conscience before God, I have come to the certainty that my strengths, due to an advanced age, are no longer suited to an adequate exercise of the Petrine ministry. I am well aware that the ministry, due to its essential spiritual nature, must be carried out not only with words and deeds, but no less with prayer and suffering. However, in today's world, subject to so many rapid changes, and shaken by questions of deep relevance for the life of faith, in order to govern the bark of St. Peter and proclaim the gospel, both strength of mind and body are necessary, strength which, in the last few months, has deteriorated in me to the extent that I have had to recognize my incapacity to adequately fulfill the ministry entrusted to me. For this reason, and well aware of the seriousness of this act, with full freedom, I declare that I renounce the ministry of Bishop of Rome, successor of St. Peter, entrusted to me by the Cardinals on the 19th of April 2005, in such a way that, as from the 28th of February 2013, at 2000 hours, the See of Rome, the See of St. Peter, will be vacant, and a conclave to elect the new Supreme Pontiff will have to be convoked by those whose competence it is. Dear brothers, I thank you most sincerely for all the love and work with which you have supported me in my ministry, and I ask pardon for all my defects. And now let us entrust the Holy Church to the care of our Supreme Pastor, our Lord Jesus Christ, and implore his Mother Mary so that she may assist the Cardinal Fathers with her maternal solicitude in electing a new Supreme Pontiff. With regard to myself, I wish to also devotedly serve the Holy Church of God in the future through a life dedicated to prayer.
And you were listening there to an English translation of the Pope's announcement to resign. Curiously, in the course of his pontificate, Benedict XVI visited the tomb of one of the popes in the course of history to have resigned. He did so on more than one occasion during this 8-year pontificate. The Pope in question, you may have guessed, is Celestine V, and on April 29, 2009, the Pope left his own pallium, the sign of episcopal authority and his connection to Christ, on this medieval Pope's tomb. But at this point, what I'd like to do is let you know more about the Pope's whereabouts after he resigns. First question, where will the Pope live? The head of the Holy See's press office, Father Federico Lombardi, informed us that he will be going to Castel Gandolfo as from the 28th of February. That's until premises are made ready for him in a former cloistered monastery within Vatican walls. Returning then, Father Lombardi specified, to live a life of prayer and reflection. The Pope's personal secretary, Archbishop Georg Ganschwein, will accompany the Holy Father to Castel Gandolfo and be with him as he enters his retirement, including during the period of his residence in the monastery inside the Vatican walls. Father Lombardi also added that Archbishop Ganschwein is expected to continue in his recent appointment as prefect of the papal household when Pope Benedict's successor is elected. Regarding preparations for the sede vacante, the period of vacancy of papal office, Father Lombardi highlighted the appointment of Bishop Giuseppe Sciacca as the general auditor of the Apostolic Camera, which is in charge of the temporal goods and rights of the Holy See during a vacancy in the papacy, an office of ancient standing that was once also of great juridical power and authority. The general auditor now functions as a legal consultant to the Camerlengo or Chamberlain, the head of the Apostolic Camera, and a figure who has broad power during the sede vacante. The Pope's resigning his office on February 28th has raised many questions about the laws connected to a resignation of a Pope. There is no doubt he can do so. Canon 332 of the Code of Canon Law states, if it happens that the Roman Pontiff resigns his office, it is required for validity that the resignation is made freely and properly manifested, but not accepted by anyone. Meanwhile, Pope Benedict held his penultimate weekly general audience this past Wednesday. Thousands flocked to the Paul VI Hall. Emma McCarthy reports.
Even though only 3,500 tickets had been distributed for this Wednesday's general audience, thousands more flocked to the Paul VI Hall, hoping to gain access for Pope Benedict XVI's penultimate audience with pilgrims. As soon as the Holy Father emerged onto the stage from the side door, the crowds erupted in greeting, a large banner reading simply, "Thank you, Benedict."
Cari fratelli e sorelle, come sapete, ho deciso.
Dear brothers and sisters, the Pope began, only to be interrupted frequently with prolonged applause.
Grazie per la vostra simpatia.
Speaking for the first time publicly of his decision since he first announced it to his fellow cardinals Monday last, he said, "Thank you for your kindness. I decided to resign from the ministry that the Lord had entrusted me on April 19, 2005. I did this in full freedom," he added forcefully, "for the good of the Church." After having prayed at length and examined my conscience before God, well aware of the gravity of this act. But, continued Pope Benedict, I was also well aware that I was no longer able to fulfill the Petrine ministry with the strength that it demands. What sustains and illuminates me is the certainty that the Church belongs to Christ, whose care and guidance will never be lacking. Finally, he added, I thank you all for the love and prayer with which you have accompanied me, which I have felt almost physically. These prayers in these days, which are not easy for me, the strength which the love of the Church and your prayers bring to me, and he urged faithful worldwide to continue to pray for him and for the future Pope. The Lord, he ensured all, will guide us.
Continuate a pregare per me, per la Chiesa, per il futuro Papa. Il Signore ci guiderà.
As the cheers and applause subsided, Pope Benedict XVI then attempted to turn to this Wednesday's catechesis in an atmosphere that was anything but normal, a catechesis which focused on the season of Lent, when we are called to make more room for God in our lives, as he tweeted to his followers, just like the great American convert Dorothy Day, of whom he spoke in his audience.
His prayers at this Lenten season will prove spiritually fruitful for you and your families, and will govern all of you God's blessings of joy and peace. Thank you.
I'm Emma McCarthy.
And while our thanks there go to Emma McCarthy for bringing us this report. Ever since Benedict XVI announced his decision to step down from the papacy at the end of this month, Cardinals, archbishops, presidents and prime ministers have been reacting to the news and paying tribute to the Holy Father. But what are the thoughts of people in general, especially those who are in Rome at this time? Lydia O'Kane went down to St. Peter's Square to find out what tourists and faithful might think about the resignation.
It's quite shocking, because normally they don't resign. I think it takes a lot of courage to resign with the amount of media attention he has. The first thing that came to mind was why.
I was hoping that the Pope would be around for a couple more years at least. It's a pity because I like Pope Benedict very much, his teachings, and he's a very wise Pope. He was inspired by Pope John Paul II. I'm sure in his wisdom he did what he thought was right for the good of the Church. I was quite surprised.
It's definitely surprising, so it was definitely a big shock.
We found out when we were in Florence, and it was a complete surprise. It's definitely courageous to stand down from a position, especially of someone of such a high status and power.
And now we've listened to these voices from St. Peter's Square, brought to us by Lydia O'Kane. Our thanks go to her. I'd like you to listen to reactions from some of the church leaders we spoke to, beginning with two of the cardinals who will be taking part in the forthcoming conclave, which the head of the Vatican press office, Father Federico Lombardi, says is scheduled to begin between the 15th and the 20th of March, adding that the cardinals will not take up residence at the Domus Sancte Marte, their residence throughout the conclave, before the 1st of March. My first guest is American Cardinal Donald Wuerl, Archbishop of Washington, D.C. He says Pope Benedict's decision to step down is understandable given the greater demands of a modern papacy. Susie Hodges spoke to him.
The first thing I want to say is the news obviously came as a great surprise. However, once I had a chance to read the declaration that he issued, saying why, I began to realize what a courageous man our Holy Father is. I have always thought of him as a person of great fortitude, but it takes enormous humility to be able to say in self-appraisal, I can't do this any longer. And then it takes great courage to say, I'm going to actually take this step. And as he said, he prayed over this. This was an action that comes out of his conscientious assessment of his role before God. I have nothing but admiration for our Holy Father. This was an enormous surprise, but at the same time, one cannot help but admire the courage and the truthfulness and the humility.
And what for you are some of the highlights of his papacy?
I have two. One is an actual moment in time. As you can imagine, since I'm the Archbishop of Washington, it would include his visit to the United States nearly 5 years ago, and how he captured the hearts of people, not just Catholics, but people all over this country with his visit. His remarkable homily at Nationals Park, challenging all of us to be able to bring our faith in what he called a new Pentecost to confront the growing secularism. That's one thing. The second is probably going to be his synod on the new evangelization, that in a way is a culmination of everything he has been preaching in his pontificate, that this is a new moment in the life of the Church, that there is a new, fresh sense of the outpouring of the Spirit, and that our task is to turn to all of those people who have drifted away from the practice of the faith, all of those people, particularly young adults, who think that the Church has nothing to bring them, and reintroduce, repropose the gospel of Christ to them. I think that will be his resounding legacy, that he has called the entire Church universal to focus on what will be the mission of the Church well into the future, and that is bringing this generation, this secularized world, back to a recognition that Jesus is the answer to all of those staggering concerns of the human heart that aren't being met elsewhere.
What do you think we have missed, though, by the fact that he is stepping down at this point rather than continuing as Pope until his death?
Well, I think that is, as he has related in the context of the meeting with the other cardinals, I think he was measuring the demands of a modern papacy. There are two elements that are new to modern papacies. One is it's really now become a requirement to travel. Ministry of presence. The Pope has to be present to his flock around the globe. That in itself is extraordinarily demanding. The second is we live in an age of instant communications. This is an age in which people derive much of their information from sources other than the traditional ones. We're into the whole social media. We're into the whole social contact. We're into instantaneous, immediate communications, unmediated. And I think the Holy Father recognizes that and is simply saying, wouldn't it be good to have someone with fresh energy begin to address this? Personally, I think he has done an extraordinary job. He has traveled. At the same time, he has been present in Rome to speak to the whole world from there. And I believe he has begun to utilize the means of modern communication. But he seems to be saying that he doesn't have the energy any longer to do this, and it's time for someone to come in and continue in the direction moving forward.
Of course, his decision to resign does set a precedent. Do you think we're going to see in the future, you know, that it's going to be more likely that popes in the future will also resign?
Well, now that our Holy Father has shown that it can be done, then there's no reason why someone in the future would necessarily hesitate on the grounds there's no precedent. But I think as we go into the future, every pope is going to have to look at his own pontificate, his own state of health, and what the Holy Spirit is asking him to do. This is a unique moment in the Church for us right now, and how it plays out will, I think, be always under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
And our thanks there go to Cardinal Donald World, Archbishop of Washington, D.C., and to Susie Hodges. We now cross another ocean and go to India, where one of the cardinals to take part in the next conclave, Oswald Gracious of Bombay, says Pope Benedict's decision to step down expresses very clearly his love for the Church, but also his courage to do what no pope has done for such a long time.
I would say that it's with absolute surprise, but also a twinge of sadness, that I got the news of resignation of our beloved Holy Father, Benedict XVI. I thought this resignation expresses really very clearly his love for the Church, and yet his courage to do what no one has done for such a long time. He loves the Church, and he wants the Church to be in any way disadvantaged because of his failing health or age. He will be remembered very, very much for his brilliant acumen, his unshakable faith. He is a very gentle person, courageous, and yet so humble, with solid ethical and spiritual grounding. I would say, looking back at his papacy last few years, the legacy of the Pope is tremendous. He guided the Church, I was thinking, with prophetic insight, tremendous zeal, and spiritual and theological grounding. All his actions have been guided by his intense personal prayer and reflection for the good of the Church. India loves Pope Benedict XVI, and India prays for Pope Benedict XVI.
What would you say, Your Eminence, to those perhaps who might think that by resigning he didn't do the correct thing? I mean, he should have trusted in God who would guide him. In the beginning, when he took up the job, he totally put himself in God's hands. But then to leave the Church at this moment, I mean, do you think he's made a wise decision according to those critics who might be?
I can understand if he does, because the decision was so unexpected that I think it shocked all of us. When I first heard it, I was just getting on the plane last evening, and I thought it was some hoax. I checked a little bit, double-checked, and it was true. But no, I respect his decision. I think he trusts in God, and in prayer, I'm sure that's why I said prayer and reflection, he surely felt that God awarded him to perhaps step aside and give the leadership of the Church to somebody who would be able to but they're more physical strength. So a high effective decision. I think his decision was more freed by the Catholic Church.
And that was Indian Cardinal Oswald Gracious of Bombay speaking to Robin Gomez of our Indian programme. Our thanks go to them. Meanwhile, among the church leaders we spoke to from England was Archbishop Vincent Nichols of Westminster, who heads the Catholic Church in England and Wales. He paid tribute to Pope Benedict's courage, humility and integrity in deciding to step down from the papacy at the end of the month. Archbishop Nichols spoke to Philippa Hitchin. Archbishop Nichols, first of all, where were you when you heard the news of the resignation and what was your reaction?
Well, my first reaction was to try and seek for clarification that it was in fact true, because it was startling and really quite surprising. And then when it was confirmed and we received the text of the Pope's declaration, then reflecting on it, you could see that this was a very courageous decision, and one in many ways that bears the characteristics of Benedict XVI. And by that I mean courage, humility, and a great integrity. You know, he looked at himself with great honesty and great integrity, and with courage faces what he sees and says, I can no longer fulfill these two main functions of the person who holds the office of the Apostolic See. And he details them typically. One is, as he says, is to steer the bark of Peter, and the other is to proclaim the gospel to the world. And as he said, they are tasks which demand both strength of mind and body.
You talk about the announcement as provoking shock and surprise. I imagine there have been quite a lot of reactions from people, Catholics there in the UK, particularly your own diocese there.
Well, those that I've heard have been a mixture of surprise, sadness, because clearly Pope Benedict is held in very great affection and high esteem by people, and yet a readiness to acknowledge that it is a very courageous decision, which undoubtedly he takes for what he sees to be the good of the Church.
It will, of course, open up a period of uncertainty. We're in uncharted territory, as it were, as of the 28th of February, when the resignation takes effect. What is your advice? What are you saying to Catholics in Britain at the moment?
Well, I'm asked in that statement that people of all faith, people who believe in God, might now pray for Pope Benedict at this period as he faces a very, very exceptional course of action. And secondly, to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and all that has to take place within the Holy See to ensure a continuity of ministry in the See of Peter.
Did you have any inkling at all that this might be a decision that Pope Benedict could take? I'm thinking of perhaps your last meetings with him.
No, I had no inclination directly from him. Obviously, I think not that long ago he did speak, he wrote about the possibility of it, and I was aware of people saying that maybe this might happen. But it was a total surprise to me.
If we look ahead to the conclave, of course, there will be no English cardinal there, Cardinal Cormac having turned 80 last year. What kind of ideas do you have, if any, on the direction of the papacy? There are many talking about the need to move away from a Eurocentric, if you like, papacy, a European pope, towards Africa, Latin America, where the church is growing so vibrantly.
Well, that's, I think, the area of speculation at the moment. I mean, I think the Holy Father understood the needs of the church very clearly. And I personally would go back, for example, to two of his recent statements, one to the Curia in December and the other to the Diplomatic Corps in January, in which, you know, he sketches quite clearly the challenges facing the church. And they don't change. So I think he's given, in those two speeches, a kind of sketch of what he sees to be necessary for the next phase in the life of the church.
Finally, Archbishop Vincent, if I could ask you for perhaps a personal memory, a favourite moment of this papacy, the moments that you've lived with the Pope over the past 8 years.
Well, clearly, most importantly for me, and I think for most people in this country, was the visit of the Holy Father here in September 2010. I had the privilege of travelling with him in the Popemobile throughout his journeys across central London and entering Westminster Hall alongside him when he received that quite astonishing and profoundly respectful acclamation from the leading people of Britain. I will never, ever forget those moments. I will never, ever forget the grace and the clarity with which he spoke, if you like, to the heart of British society, both acknowledging the achievements of Britain, but also challenging us to engage substantially in the dialogue between the world of religious faith and the world of secularism. And that remains our challenge. But it was his astonishing witness and confidence in faith that people, the leaders of this country, responded to so well. So his visit to Britain, his speech in Westminster Hall, his Mass in Westminster Cathedral, the beatification of Cardinal John Henry Newman, they are the warmest memories that I will never, ever relinquish of Pope Benedict XVI.
And now we can thank Archbishop Vincent Nichols of Westminster and, of course, Philippa Hitchin. Finally, I'd like to bring you the voice of Archbishop Dennis Hart of Melbourne, President of the Australian Bishops' Conference. He spoke to Emma McCarthy about reactions down under to Pope Benedict's resignation.
Catholics and many others in the Australian community were very surprised and shocked by Pope Benedict's resignation. However, they do accept that a man of 85, nearly 86, whose health is failing, made a very courageous decision, and I think they were very moved by his decision and the reasons that he gave for it in his statement. I've always known Pope Benedict as a wonderfully gifted teacher and theologian, but a very humble and warm and sincere man. 3 weeks ago, I spoke with him at the papal audience on the 16th of January, and he reassured me of his love of the people of Melbourne and of his love of the faith. I was very, very moved on that moment, and I'm particularly moved at this time to see that he has resigned. Certainly my prayers and my wishes go with the Holy Father.
Do you have any personal memory in particular of a meeting or a word that you shared with Benedict XVI that you'd like to share with us?
I met him first as a young priest walking across St. Peter's Square. He'd always greet you and always have a little word with you. When I met him as Pope, he was always encouraging, always warm and sincere, and a man of the Spirit and a man of God. I felt tremendously encouraged in my role as Archbishop and in my work with the people, knowing that he was there with me, behind me, supporting and guiding me. He means a tremendous amount to all of us. I was made a bishop and an archbishop by John Paul II, but Pope Benedict has brought a new light, a new clarity to his teaching. He's just a wonderful man, and we'll always remember him.
And thanks there to Archbishop Dennis Hart of Melbourne, Australia, and to Emma McCarthy for bringing us his reaction to Pope Benedict's resignation from the papacy. And that brings me up to time. I do hope you enjoyed this broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening. Laudetur Jesus Christus.